Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. Therefore, I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. In each episode, we'll walk through my expanders, a term in my manifestation formula signaling the people that we admire that already embody, have, or are successful in what we are looking to call in. These are the people that we witness through our mirror neurons on a subconscious level that expand us into knowing that our manifestations are possible as well. Especially when we hear about their background, their upbringing, their trials and tribulations, and any of their pitfalls that they had to experience along the way. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us a review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifester that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn. Today's guest, human design reader Jenna Zoe, comes from a very notable family in London. And like most Aquarian projectors, she did away with college. Instead, she jumped right into working under her biggest expander. And due to struggling like most with acne, she really started down the rabbit hole of wellness, where she founded two companies in wellness, wrote two vegan cookbooks, and proceeded to heal her acne naturally. She started to realize she had a gift for reading human design charts. Which, if anybody in here has ever tried to pick up a book on human design, you probably realize rather quickly that it's incredibly intricate and takes quite a bit of talent to be able to channel that information through, which she has. And I was so astounded by how much she's blown up in the last year. And as my own personal human design reader, I like to always tell people it's the most articulated I've ever felt, and I've never received more licensing to simply be myself. And why I find human design to be so important to manifestation is I believe in manifestation. We came onto the planet as authentic, whole souls, and then we received programming, shame, pain, media, parental, to where we formed up this ego shell. And the whole process I teach is how to break that down and stand into your most whole, authentic, worthy self, which is your magnetic self. Human design, on the other hand, shows you the blueprint that you came onto the planet as with suggestions of how to live that whole worthy authenticness. So it's the perfect correlation to this process. So without further ado, let's hear her story. Welcome to the very first podcast. We have Jenna Zoe here, and she is my human design reader. I believe the best human design reader out.
I don't know any other ones.
If you've never met one,
me neither. Met another human design reader.
Me neither. It's actually Nitsa, who's in wellness. Sunposh and Nitsa 3 years ago said, what are you in human design? And I looked it up, and I think I had what everybody has, where I was like, oh shit, I'm not the manifester.
Yeah.
And that was the only time.
Wow.
Until we were in session and you met. Mentioned it.
That's so crazy.
And I was like, oh, we have to trade. I really want to hear what it all means. So after that, Jenna read my chart.
Yeah.
And it's out of astrology, out of everything I've ever done. When I got off that call, I said, I've never felt more articulated and had more licensing in my entire life. Wow. It's like you read me entirely.
That's so cool.
So I couldn't wait to have you on here.
Yay.
And to be the first person, of course. You're like the first of everything. The cure, everything.
And so we're going to pop right into this because I have so many questions, which I'll try to loop in some human design, but it's going to be a lot more about you. First, let's just start off right off the bat, because I want to start to treat this podcast as an expander series, so to allow you to be an expander for other people. Go ahead and tell us about your cultural background and upbringing.
Oh, my culture. Okay. Well, my mom is Indian and my dad is English, but I was brought up very, very English. So my mom is born in England, you know, raised there, everything. So it was like a very, very typical English sort of upbringing. So very strict, very by the book, very, you know, kids should be seen, not heard. Very, I say the sky is orange and you say yes, you know, that type of thing. So that was like my, if I think about my upbringing, my childhood back then, it was very much be a good child. And as long as you're a good child, then that's when you have worth. And then don't step outside of the boundaries, basically.
Which I know about. And you've done so much work around to decondition and be more in your type. Can you talk a little bit about what's been helpful about for you?
Well, a session with you and doing all of the unblocks.
But you're like a full-blown, I mean, you're reading two books at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, what have been your biggest?
Well, I think, you know, it's funny because what people call like trauma is like, you know, I never would have thought that I was like, I had a traumatic childhood, but now thinking back to the way that it made me feel, it really was traumatic because it was so the antithesis of who I felt I was. So I was in a lot of pain, basically pretty much until maybe even 5 years ago.
Wow.
Because I just didn't have any connection to like, oh, what I am and what I'm doing is like cool or it's okay, it's fine. So I never had that kind of like authority, you know, from someone else to say like, you're fine. So that made me like a voracious like reader, seeker, looking into everything. I'll try astrology, I'll try this, I'll try that. Like I just wanted to try everything because I guess I just was like looking for something that was going to validate or show me another way. So I guess obviously the flip side of that is that it's made me really curious into health, self-help and wellness and all that stuff.
So and I'm think sure such that's why I chose a pioneer for authenticity and that everyone's so different and unique and there's no one way.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about human design, just what it is?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's basically a system that was only discovered 31 years ago that fuses a lot of different sources of wisdom. So you have the I Ching, you have Kabbalah, you have normal astrology, you have the chakra system, and human design basically fuses it all together, basically to say that this is your energy, this is what you were born as, and what we want to do when we talk about your higher self and being your higher self is get you back to who you were, that flavor of who you are on day zero before the world basically came in and told you that you have to be something else other than what
like
you're
seen and heard at. And you'll be a good kid if you're really loved.
Exactly. And so I think, you know, with human design, the belief is that we already know how to live our lives the day we come onto this planet. But then, you know, it's not so much of a becoming your higher self, it's about an unbecoming of your higher self, of your conditioned self to become your higher self. So, you know, for me, I look back and I see how it's also beautiful because if I didn't have the pain of like not feeling like I knew who I was and being so judgmental because I had it bred into me, I wouldn't have like acceptance be such a big part of what I do now.
Absolutely. Same with me. My soul definitely chose to go through like, who is this family? I don't even recognize myself. Like, I'm so different. But it was very much what allowed me to learn, which I have. It's so funny because I believe in the exact same thing when it comes to manifestation, is that we're all basically just chiseling away our shell to get back to who we are in that true authenticity.
Yeah.
And that's why human design's been so incredibly effective for me, because it's like, oh, here's a blueprint of what my authenticity is.
Yeah.
Fantastic. With some key tools and information of how I can just start living that right now.
Yeah.
Which is magic.
Yeah.
Going back, was it a small town or a big city that you were raised in?
London, big city.
So you totally grew up in London.
Yeah. Big city, very go-getter. Like if you want something, you have to do it yourself. And, you know, you always have to work hard. Work is hard. That was a big one. And, you know, that very heavy. London is like a very, you know, literally it's a gray place, and energetically I feel like it's a gray place too. It's very dense. Mm-hmm. It's very accepting of doing things the way things are, right? By the book, which I guess, you know, being an Aquarian, that's not that easy to do things with everyone
You're
else's
double
rules.
Too, right?
Triple.
Because what's your rising?
So I'm Sun, Moon, and Mercury in Aquarius, but I'm rising Virgo.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I know, saved. Thank you. The rising. Otherwise, it'd be a total
just
winner.
Just floating in space, yeah.
Yeah, there's a bit of Earth there.
Wow.
But yeah, London is like a very, like, you know, you do things this way, and that's the way that you will get by.
I've been curious about this. Will you speak just in a tiny nutshell to each type, what environment they might thrive in more, whether it's city, country, or anything, climate? I'm just curious.
It actually doesn't really have much to do with your energy type. It has to do with what we were talking about on the video series, the what we call in human design the base color and tone. Because human design will literally tell you whether you do well in cold climates, hot climates, groups, not groups.
Oh, wow.
All those different types of things. So it's really fascinating. But what I will say off the bat is that projectors generally tend to do better in warm countries just because they run cold.
Ah, interesting.
As people. Wow. So they need to be staying warm, whether that's living in a warm country or
fire,
you know, having exactly like exactly some kind of like heating around them. But everything else basically depends on not that much to do with your energy type, actually.
So they would have to pop in session, and that's some information they could get. That's amazing. Okay, this is my favorite one. That time I spent the gap of my life crying on the floor, and why?
Oh, wow. My whole childhood. Totally. Literally my whole childhood. The number one thing that I remember from my childhood was like, stop crying. Come on now, stop crying. Don't cry. You don't need to cry. And as a child, you have no idea why you're crying. Your soul is saying, like, I'm not feeling like me and I don't like being here. I don't know if you get it too, but sometimes I'm just like, why am I actually... It took me a long time to accept just, like, being on planet Earth as well.
Oh, for
me
too.
Like, why are we here?
Why am I so weird? Why am I so different? Why am I not like anybody in my family? Why don't they get me?
What's wrong with me? Yeah. Therefore, all that stuff. So, and I just remember being called way too sensitive and just crying all the time.
And in human design, you would say that that is because we have the open center as well, right?
Yeah.
That we're just taking on way more than we know.
Yes.
What to be with.
Yes, exactly. And I have something in my chart that basically is called the channel of the sensitive, which basically means that the number one reason you're supposed to be here is like sensing other people's needs before your own, which is a beautiful thing. But obviously, when you're a kid and you have no idea what that is, and you get told that that's a bad thing, is like
it's also
you know,
it's like codependency. Like you're just so into.
Well, that's the number one thing. The first thing that we worked on was that book, Codependent No More. Now I believe there's an unblocked around that though, isn't there?
Kind
the codependency.
Of. Yeah, no.
I feel like there could be an unblocked.
Oh, there should
too.
Be like a full one. Cause I'm so and naturally, I think just being like sensitive people, I don't know enough about human design, but like I do sense other people's and I don't think I even have that in my chart, but I am so hyper aware of every single thing that's going on. Whereas my partner, who's a manifester, could give two fucking I'm like always behind him, like saying thank you and like cleaning up and making sure that he's not like offending.
Well, that's a good manifester though. At least he's not trying to be a people pleaser. But with projectors, because they see into the other, that's why they're hyper aware, because it's like I can't unsee.
Yeah.
Like it's not a choice. It's not a thing you have to turn on. It's just like that's what comes with the territory, right?
Ugh.
So crying on the bathroom floor was a lot of the time, and then I learned to suppress it. And then I didn't cry, and then I was still just, I guess, crying on the inside because I was doing things that I shouldn't have really ever have
or
tried
like
to do.
Building it up. And the other question I have about that is kind of if we can, well, we can't really see that in our chart, right? Like if we're what we're going to experience. I mean, we can like have hints to it. If you're a parent and you have a child, you definitely have a lot of hints about how to parent them.
Oh, definitely. Oh my gosh, my favorite readings to do are people who have to do
and
kids.
Thank God for those parents.
I know.
Who even care enough to
do
that.
The guy who founded Human Design, Ra Uruhu, he basically was like, I'm letting this information out now, when he was still alive in the 90s and early noughties. He was like, it's great for you guys, like you can benefit from it and everything, but really the people I'm doing it for are for the unborn, because imagine how much they're going to be able to move forward in their lives if they never even have to decondition. Like if they're already raised according to their design, then, you know, I have 30 years of undoing before I get there. Whereas like if you were born raised according to your design, you can just literally like
go for
fly
it
through life. Yeah.
Have you actually gotten to see clients who are truly implementing and their children are thriving?
I know a couple of people who are starting to raise their kids according to the way that they're supposed to be. And the one thing that they always say is like, there's more harmony in the home.
Amazing.
And also I know that I don't need to steer my child the way, like, it's kind of taking the pressure off a parent to say, like, I have to know how this kid turns out because the kid already has their own agenda.
Ugh.
So that's kind of great.
I love that.
But what you can see in the chart is what anybody's chart. There's something called an incarnation cross. And that basically, there are 584 different types of incarnation crosses. But what it basically will tell you is, like, what's the arc of your life? Like, what's going to be the theme of your life?
Wow.
So like mine, for example, is a cross of the four ways, which is about making sure the tribe is nourished spiritually and literally.
Wow.
So it could be one or the other. And obviously what I do like fits into that, but it's not just your work. It's your whole life's work. Right. So you can kind of have hints as to like why people are here.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful too.
And just like knowing how to nourish your children, nurture them if they are investing in those kind of things.
Yeah.
And then letting them be until they find their way back and stuff. Oh, yeah. That's so magical.
But also, you know, with doing people's, seeing their incarnation cross and things, it's like I was saying to you earlier, like sometimes people are just here to fix their karma with learning to love their body. So sometimes it has nothing to do with work. And that's something I'm really like emphatic on reiterating, because we're also kind of like finding why we're here to do with like what we do with work. But it's so many other things.
Okay. I love that. Another big one that I always love and I ask every expander is, everyone plays the fool in love, that time that I lost all self-respect. And what would be your quickest tips looking at our chart of like how to deal with that?
Of being in a relationship?
Yeah, it can be anything, but mostly like that time I played the biggest fool in love.
Yeah.
When I just got my heart broken, I didn't get anything back that I was giving.
Yeah. Well, I think the big thing I learned recently is that, and this is such a human design concept, that we use our heads too much to make the decisions and instead of living in our bodies. That's the whole goal of human design, is knowing that your body and the noises inside your body, the voices that we have inside of us, are really supposed to be the decision makers, where we've all given the mind too much authority. You know, for me with relationships, it's like, actually, we spend so much time trying to think about like, oh, well, I don't feel that good, but I feel good enough, so I should stay, so I shouldn't stay, and maybe this and that. And I would say always, always wait until you're absolutely done to leave a relationship.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you always will wonder what if, or you'll go back, or you'll be curious, or you'll go get back with that person. Or
my terminology is like, you didn't learn your lesson, you're going to trap that again.
Yeah. And then if you're using your mind, then you haven't actually made the proper decision. So if you've like intellectualized it and left prematurely, then it's not over.
You have to feel it in your body. Or if you're staying because you're afraid and fear and all that.
So feeling in your body is a really important thing for me with relationships, of like, is this still making me literally just on such a basis level without like the shoulds, you know, because I think we try to like, especially women, because we like talk about it with our girlfriends, and I've just been that person so much where I've like wanted to have like the right thing to do, like help, you know, prescribe to me type of thing. And instead I just have to wait until I'm like, no, this is horrible, I'm out. And just giving myself the grace to wait it out instead of being like, no, well, if something bad's happened, then I need to leave him immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not always the case.
Absolutely. And I like, another big thing I tell people too is like, run into the fire, like get absorb what you need to get out of that situation.
Like, what's the worst that can happen?
The person came into your life for a reason as well.
Yeah.
I don't believe, like for me at least, I don't believe in like the human experience that much. I just believe in souls like working out their karma and growing, or things mirroring so that you can unblock. So that's a great like tip on that. It's like, get what you need out of it. Like, might as well.
So like, wait until you're really done.
Sure. Like, 100% in your body.
Yeah.
Rather than your mind.
Yeah.
I love that. So for you, when you like maybe the biggest heartbreak you've gone through, have you been through heartbreak? What was that like? And if you don't have to talk about the relationship.
Yeah, no. So when I was 18, I was in a relationship for 2 years, and that ended really not so well, because I discovered that he'd been cheating on me with all of my friends knowing and no one telling me. So that was a tough one, because then all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, I'm also reassessing all of my friendships as well at the age of 20, when you're like, oh, you know, this guy did this to me and whatever. And then you're like, oh, I have to get rid of all my friends as well.
It
was like a huge house cleaning.
Yeah.
But it was cool, because it made me realize that, like, I don't know why one day I woke up and I was like, oh, I don't have to let this be about me. Like, the cheating isn't
Awesome.
Anything to do with me. And so that was like quite a good one because it helped me get stronger.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Oh,
and then I stayed single for a really long time after that because I was like, I'm not doing that again.
Yeah.
And then my previous relationship to this one was my really codependent one where nothing got spoken about. I did everything to pretend like I was independent, which is also another form of codependency.
Totally. Yeah, it's
like, I don't need you. Yeah, we don't need to talk about things. We never argue. We're so great because we never argue, you know, all that rubbish.
Yeah.
And so that was like another big one because I think I kind of was breaking my own heart in that relationship, to be honest with you.
It's a good lesson to learn that you do care about intimacy and you do want true connection, good and bad.
Totally. Rather than like taking the strong point of like, no one can have the power to hurt me and this and that, which, you know.
It's all bullshit.
Yeah.
It's all bullshit. I love that. That's such a good thing too, that you woke up one morning and realized it didn't have to be about you. I think, I don't know anybody who hasn't been in that situation. And I think everybody internalizes that and makes it, what was wrong with me? Am I not sexual enough? Am I not attractive enough? And all the things.
But you know, that was 11 years ago. And I wonder now, like, I don't think I would have, like, I don't think if that happened to me today, I would still be able to do that because I also think the world now, like with social media and with the awareness of how much we have, like I think I would have to go through that all over again, like still get back to that place because it's so much more, like we're so much more hyper aware of like what everyone else is doing. Like I think it's way harder to be cheated on now than it was 11 years ago. Like it sounds silly, but I really do feel that.
No, I absolutely agree. And I think so many other programmings play a part of it. Like now we're getting older and now things are supposed to be a certain way and now things are meant to be more serious because we're adult. Like there's more stakes at hand. Even though when you're 18, you do feel like this is the end of the world.
Oh, totally.
I was like, no, my thing really matters.
Yeah.
I remember.
And what about like my, exactly. And then you're like, hold on a second. And then I don't know why, just one day I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe this was nothing to do with like me being, but I also had, this is interesting because I also had really terrible acne at the time, like acne so bad that I didn't want to leave the house, like that bad acne.
And
so
your skin's unbelievable.
Thank you. But I was in a place anyway where I accepted being unattractive. So in a weird way that kind of helped me. Because I was like, it's not because I'm not pretty. He was with me anyway when I had bad skin, so it's not about my looks. I don't know. Weirdly, it was like a blessing. Yeah, I don't know.
And how did you heal your acne for the people that are struggling with that?
Just like I tried, honestly, Lacey, I've tried everything. Like I've tried all the antibiotics, all the best facial. I would go to the facialist. My mom would make me go to the facialist once a week and I would cry at the facialist. I know. And literally just a year and a half of eating super, super clean, super, super healthy was the only thing that made it go away.
And what did that look like for you? Although I know it varies for everyone, like the clean.
So it was, because it was 11 years ago, it was like very unfun because back then it was like much more like crunchy and hemp, you know, like that type of thing. So it was like, I mean, I think about it now and I'm like, oh god, I couldn't even imagine eating that same stuff now. But it was like a hard-boiled egg on a rye cracker and you know, like, do you know what I mean? Like very basic.
Yeah. That probably helped you create, which we'll get into, because you had you have two cookbooks as well as you had a company, a full company of vegan treats and all sorts of stuff.
That's why I created the vegan treats, because I was like, I need to still eat things that are exciting, because all I'm doing is putting you know, blue green algae in water and drinking that with hard boiled eggs. And it was like soy yogurt and like, you know, it was super boring. No one had any like fun stuff. There was no like playfulness and creativity to living like healthy. So
On an energetic level, why do you think that you received the acne, or what lessons did you have to learn from it?
There's so many reasons. Oh my gosh. I think I was growing up, I was always like a pretty child. And so I think the blessing in disguise of having acne was really learning, like being able to rely on, in my formative like teenage years, not identifying with being like pretty as my main like value add. So I think in a weird way, it was a thing that really helped me just be confident in who I was underneath.
God, I wish I had had that lesson, because that's like a lot of, I was only valued for being beautiful always. Even though to this day my mom, because one of the exercises I'll give people sometimes in clients is like, call up your parents and ask I think I heard this on something before, like call up your parents and ask what you were like when you were little before any of the stuff started. And without a doubt, everybody says how smart you are. You were so smart. You were too smart for me. You were too quick for me. I shouldn't have had you as a kid because I couldn't fucking handle how smart you were. And I was never, ever valued for being intelligent. In fact, because I had two young parents, I was constantly feeling like just nobody cared as much about academics and things that I was kind of stupid in comparison to my two cousins who I grew up around, whose parents very much cared about their academia and they were always in advanced classes, even though I still think I'm incredibly intelligent.
Yeah.
So that's beautiful that you got to go through that and really strengthen your inner worth.
Mm. It's a trip either way. Like, if you feel unattractive, it's great. And if you feel attractive, it's like you have to undo some stuff.
It's a curse either way.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. Like, we just all need to explore that thing regardless. But I grew up always being a pretty kid, a smart kid. And then having acne for 4 years, I just was like, oh, it's none of these things. So then that, I think, was the thing that sparked, like, there's got to be something else underneath. Like,
wow.
My boyfriend always, like, rolls his eyes, but I'm like, that my acne is the best thing that ever happened to me. And he's like, stop. I'm like, yeah, no, seriously.
That's awesome.
Yeah, such a blessing in disguise. Wow. Obviously, at the time, not at all, but.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so you are the success story who was able to heal it naturally through food.
Yeah.
And it sounds like through really getting to know yourself as well.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But even now, if I have like one, you know, if I eat something that I used to eat now or whatever, it will still come back. So it's not something I'm like totally.
It will surface. What triggers it the most out of curiosity?
Like really rich foods. So like pizza or things that are like a combination of like, you know, fats and salts and sugars and all the things.
Wow.
Like I can have sugar sometimes and it won't affect me that bad. But I guess it's all, I'm like a huge believer that it's all digestive. So,
totally. Yeah.
You know, anything that's like the body just isn't designed to digest. Like I'm just lucky that I get to see it.
Yeah.
I'm always like, so part of this conversation of like my acne is the best thing that has ever happened to me. I used to always be jealous of those girls when I had to eat healthy. You know, you read a magazine and it says like, oh, this actress can eat like a burger and this and that. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'm not actually jealous because I have to treat myself well.
Yeah,
a blessing.
Yeah.
And that's where my other half was like, stop. Like, if we could all eat, like, you know, whatever we wanted and never be fat, it would be fine. I'm like, no, but it's really amazing because it keeps you
in your flow and your integrity.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that. So when I found clarity, I like to ask this, when I found clarity on exactly what I wanted to do for career and how I received it, what was that for you? Like when, I mean, I think that you carry so many hats and you're probably going to do so many things in this lifetime, but when you've found the clarity, let's say on the company you had, cause you had two companies, Skinny Lemon, you had the vegan treats and now Human Design.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about how that clarity came.
So, I guess, for me, I used to work at Jimmy Choo my entire, when I was 20, I said to you, I didn't go to university. I interned for 2 years figuring out what I wanted to do. And then at 20, I went and worked at Jimmy Choo. I was there for almost 5 years. And I worked for the woman that started it. I was her assistant. And so one day I woke up and I was like, why do I want to be here? What is it that I like about working at Jimmy Choo? And it was like, oh, because I like the fact that she's a woman, she's a boss of her own company. She created something totally new. And then I had this moment where I was like, oh, if I stay here any longer, though, I could do this forever, but they're going to move me. They'll promote me, but it will be in production or it will be in
design,
whatever. And I was like, I don't want any of those things. I want to be her, but I'm never going to be her by staying here. So I need to go start my own thing. And being 24, I was like, okay, well, I'll just start my own company. And I just started making vegan treats. And
so she was your first expander.
She's still my expander to this day. Like her name's Tamara Mellon. She's a woman who I once saw her raise her voice. She was the only woman in the boardroom of guys and she would rock up in a jumpsuit and high heels. And she like never played it the masculine way. She was always like so successful, but in such the feminine thing. And then she was also always reading self-help books in her spare time. Like, so she was a really nice balance of like how to live in a yang world in such a yin way.
Mm. What are some of those qualities that you find, if you've noticed in successful women who are able to stay in their feminine, in their yin, within such yang programming from everything?
Yeah. The ones that I know that I really look up to that do that are people who don't, you know, sometimes it's really difficult when like energy is going high, like when there's a debate or there's a discussion that's heated or whatever, it's like when you don't give in to that heat or you don't meet the heat at that level, I see that as, for me, that's real power when mm-hmm. people can still stay like how we're talking now when everyone else is like, you know.
Loosen it.
Yeah. I think there's real like, that's power. A beautiful like feminine way to deal with things rather than like also have to raise your voice or also get aggressive or speak faster or whatever that is. And also just the ability to like wait and not always kind of like have to, you know, come back with a slick answer or have it all figured out. Like people that are like, okay, well, we'll figure it out. We'll see what happens. Like she always did that too. She was never like needing to know the answer if she didn't. She was always like, okay, we'll get the answer. Like,
take your time. Yeah. Yeah.
So being like in my early 20s and watching that was like
a dream. The best. It was like university. Business school. Yeah. Best on the planet. I had a really incredible executive producer who taught me so much about that. But she was though very yang. Within a yin environment. Which was magical because I needed that medicine because I just did not, like, country girl who had never been around anybody who was like that big of a boss. We're still friends today. It was amazing. She was such an expander for me of how to like run things and how to be in my power and ask for what I want. And it was amazing.
That's so cool.
Now I'm having to relearn being yin.
Yeah, I'm having to relearn being yang as well. Whoa. Well, like learn, I not relearn, I never learned it. Like I'm really trying to learn the yang, like embrace the I always feel like the odd one out because everyone's talking about the divine feminine and I'm like, but where's my yang? Like I need to find my yang because that's for me the thing that I like trying to work on the most at the moment is like, where's my yang? Like where's my Mars in Aries? Because I know it's there.
Yeah.
But how does it show up in me?
And what have been some of the practices or things you've learned that you're incorporating?
I think like so much of what your work is about, which is like, what is a hard no? Because that's a really yang thing. Yeah. And then also money, you know, like unblocking with money, because like you say, money is masculine energy. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a wealthy family. Mm-hmm. And so I was raised that I never had to think about money because that's obviously...
Or that women can't make money or leave it to the men.
Yeah. And so it's not something that you have to explore, right? And so having done the unblocked, the opulence was a really big thing for me because it's like, okay, it doesn't have to be the masculine the way that you think about it. It's just it's a masculine energy within, which I never...
Yeah. It's just a commanding energy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Exactly. So that's still... You know, I've done some work around it, but it's still obviously, you know, so many more layers that it takes.
It's so, I'm the complete opposite. That's why I think I can never get pregnant. I'm like, my mom's like a guy. I mean, it's just masculine energy. And I'm having to learn to be a projector. I feel like projector is a very yin energy.
It is a very yin energy. Yeah.
And that's it doesn't come natural.
So yeah.
It probably did when I was little.
Probably. Yeah. I wonder. I'd be curious to find out.
I know.
But I was raised around very strong men. And therefore, I genuinely believe that I would never have to worry about money and think about money. So it was like, okay, well, then just don't even explore that part of yourself. Even if you have. But now I'm like, listen, even if there's, if it's coming
it's all
out
energy
everywhere, I still have to think about
what lights you up and how to do it. I love that. That's so beautiful, especially because people are usually really, really afraid to talk about that. They're so programmed if they do come from money or wealth that it's like bad, be hush. But people need that expanding. Like you are a woman who has started your company really, really taking off now with your current gift. It's like, you can do it and you're worth it. And the deprogramming of that. We always hear about the people who come from nothing and they have to like strap on their boots, but nobody has those expanders.
And I was like, my old boss, Tamara, her dad started Vidal Sassoon.
Look at this family.
He started Vidal Sassoon. She borrowed $100,000 off him and then she started Jimmy Choo. So I guess I had that subconscious expander of like, oh, she can do it. And that's how she did it. So I could do the same. But I started companies because one of my beliefs was like the only way to make money is by having companies and provide products and services.
Yeah.
And therefore I did have companies and I did write 2 cookbooks. But A, it was never really what made me happy. Mm-hmm. And B, the universe was literally trying to,
I believe, block
me from having success there because it just wasn't supposed to be where I was.
Yeah.
So it took me having to give all that up and to do human design to really discover what flow.
Which is so scary because it could be perceived as a failure. It could be perceived in so many things. But you really gracefully really transitioned and it just seems like it's the beautiful flow. Like you really are in your flow right now.
I don't think I realized, and I think this is something that I would want to hear. Like I don't think I realized realized how much I was forcing and pushing because of a belief system that was never really mine to begin with.
Wow.
And believing that versus like, oh, that really wasn't my truth. And now how much flow I can experience when I just feel like I'm living more according to my own rules versus the belief systems that were
amazing
before I did all the unblock. Like literally, yeah. Like I remember I read Codependent No More, did your work. You told me to read Homecoming.
This is before Unblocked came out.
This is before all the Unblocked. But the Unblocked is way better. Like, no, I've done the Unblocked as well.
You're one of the few clients who would, like, really read the books and do it all. And then I was like, I have to create Unblocked because people are not doing this work.
But then it was after that. I was like, shit, I'm doing stuff that I'm really just not supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And that's what made me get rid of it. Like, I always say to people, like, if I'd never done your work, I never would be a human design reader in my life. Because I'd be like, what?
Yes.
Human, like, the alternative things, like, come so, on, like, yeah, how so can you make weird. A business out of that?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Literally, that's, like, I was that person. Like, it sounds so crazy to say that, but I literally was, you know, like, judgmental of all that.
How is your family supporting it?
So, I think in the beginning, they didn't really get it.
Yeah. totally.
At all. Yeah. It took, basically, my mom asking me to do her chart. Then she really got it. My brother asked me to do his. My sister, I still haven't done my dad's. I'm waiting for him to invite me.
Yeah.
But until they basically saw that it was bringing me more success than I'd had in 6 years of doing my food businesses.
Of where, like, soliciting, essentially.
Literally,
right?
Soliciting. Yeah. And also, just because I don't think it was what I was supposed to be here to do, yeah. I watched so many other girls, like, zoom past me.
Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard when that happens.
And you go, what the hell's wrong with me? Yeah. I'm doing everything. Yeah. Like, what's the trick that I'm missing? And now I'm like, oh, thank God I didn't have success with it. Because my wrong ego would have just got bigger and bigger.
Totally.
And I've lived further outside of my real self.
Exactly. You would have gotten sick. Acne would have come back, like, something.
All the thing would have been in a horrible relationship. Yeah. It just, like, bleeds into everything,
all the,
you know,
things. I agree. Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy.
It was literally just from doing Unblocked that I was like, oh shit, okay,
amazing,
this isn't me.
And I could see it, like, even because I've had, you know, clients who will be like, well, I do this and I do that, and I never feel the intuition to be like, let's trade. It's very rare, but I knew.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, I want to trade. And then when you did, I was like, she's gonna be
That's
doing
so
that
cool.
I just knew it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I needed people like you to see it, and Dara, who you know,
I
as
bet,
well,
yeah.
to say, like, you should do this as your job.
Yeah.
Because there's no way that old conditioned me would have even been
considered.
Able to conceive.
Yeah. So I hope people are listening who are in a similar position, where it's just so socially unacceptable or normal. And going back to from coming from wealth, I think not enough people have those expanders, because something I would notice, right, like here in LA, if you were an actor and you met kids, you're like, oh, well, of course, they're a kid of an actor. They're going to be, no, I want to say, like, wholeheartedly, being someone who acted, who's been around people from wealth, who around, like, famous families,
yeah.
that never, ever, ever, like, solidifies or guarantees somebody's success. In fact, it usually works against them, because
wow.
there's so many expectations
yeah.
to have to reach. Mm. So, like, that's something I just want you to talk about, too. If you
yeah.
felt pressure, like, you have to, like, what does that look
Absolutely.
Like for you?
Absolutely. Like, my pressure in the beginning was why I started two businesses, because I thought the only way to prove myself as I'm not one of those women that's good for nothing and get sidelined
yeah.
is by starting a business and making money the way that you guys make money.
Yeah.
So that was obviously never conscious. It was
no,
like,
no, it's all
the only way to make money
yeah.
is like start a business and do it in the male way
yeah.
and whatever, and push and force and hustle and flow, you know, all that stuff. And I just, there was so much proving behind all of that stuff. And actually, you know, it's exactly that. Like, right now, I don't know a single human design reader, but I also, in my family, there's no one who does what I do, not even close.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all, they all work together. They're all men. They all, you know, it's that cigar smoking plutocratic.
Yeah, it's like very,
I love
very
them all,
British,
but it's
yeah.
very British
yeah.
and it's very the antithesis of what I do. So there's nothing that they could do to help me. They don't know people in wellness.
Yes.
They can't get me readings.
They,
like,
don't see, like, the business.
They,
like,
can't give
yeah.
me shit.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things that obviously, you know, being brought up in comfortable surroundings, that, well, that's amazing. But when it comes to my career, it literally has zero help of me at
yeah.
all, at all, you know?
It's amazing.
But if it did, then great too. Like,
yeah. It's all beautiful. Yeah.
yeah.
But it's just being able to recognize, like, you really are in your flow because you're listening to your gifts and you're really going after them regardless. And I
yeah.
believe you're going to do many things in life.
Oh.
I think it'll be multiple, but great. What was your biggest shadowy aspect that you've had to integrate in order to see things starting to really transpire for you and your happiness?
I think my biggest fear as a kid was that I'm a bad person, like an evil person.
Ah.
Like an evil, evil person.
I had that, like, there's something wrong with me, mm. but not evil. Yeah.
Like, people are going to discover that I'm bad.
Most
that
people.
That was a big one. Yeah. yeah. And, like, not just bad, like, unworthy, but, like, evil, like, bad. Like,
what sort of triggered that, or what brought that on to you?
I think maybe it was the whole, like, if you know my upbringing of, like, if you do things the right way, then you're good. There was any time I had a temptation to do something else or wanted to kind of be contrarian, which is my nature, then I would be like, oh, your real self is like evil, because that's the shame around that.
Yeah.
And I think having to go through all my shadow and basically see that we're all, like, only once I accepted, like, we're all light and dark,
yep.
and, like, being okay with the dark, that's, like, the only way I would have got to, like, a good basis of self-worth,
mm-hmm.
just underneath. Like, obviously it goes up and down every day, but...
Totally.
You know, that basis of self-worth, like, only came from a place of, like, yeah, sometimes I have crazy, disgusting thoughts, but that doesn't mean I'm, like, a terrible person.
Amazing.
But I put that in my shadow so long of, like, no, like, especially, I think, such a trap at the beginning of your spiritual journey is all, like, light and unicorns yeah. and all my blessings.
Positive vibrations.
And,
this, yeah.
and I'm just, like, I can't, like, when I see that, just because it reminds me of my old self, I'm just, like, that is such a place of, like, ignoring such a powerful other half of you, where right. it's, like...
All it's a disservice for people. It's such
absolutely.
A problem.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And people, it's so funny. Maybe this happens to you too, but your friends that aren't in the wellness world will tag you in things on Instagram and be like, oh, this is so you. And it will be like a meme about, like, light and love. And I'm like,
yeah.
but that's not it. I'm like, that's
yeah,
not
yeah,
me.
They don't get
like,
it.
Don't put me
yeah.
in the camp.
Totally.
I'm not like unicorn. I mean, I was like unicorns yeah. and fairies and it's all, you know.
I think everyone starts there. I think that's what like the... Like, that's the little tiny bit that people in the West extracted when they went to the East.
Yeah.
Like, all the yoga culture was, like, yeah. love. But it's like, oh, wow, most of those gurus, most of those people reach that state of enlightenment, that mm-hmm. open-heartedness through, like, going through all the other dharma and, like, really. So I
yeah.
think they only kind of extracted the spiritual
And
it was
yeah.
so big in, like, the 90s, the 2000s. I think all of us sort of started there.
Massively.
I did.
Yeah, me too.
Totally.
And then now I'm just like, oh, I'm so sickened by my own like message back then. Like, why was I trying to think that that was like better? Because I was totally like living
yeah.
up here in the world of ideas and the ideals rather
yeah.
than just like, how do we actually make this here better?
Yeah,
you know?
The body.
You
absolutely.
Just ignore.
What's the most humbling thing you've ever experienced?
I don't know if it's the most humbling thing ever, but... The most recent one that comes to my mind is about giving up my two companies.
I bet. It's a hard pill.
And saying, do you know what? Like, I'm okay without... Like, people can think whatever they want. The pain of me trying to still be this person is bigger than them saying, like, oh, she gave it up or this and that. And then I do live in a culture that is
yeah.
like that very much so. So I had to be like, okay. And also, writing two cookbooks, just because someone asked me to, I said yes, because I thought, well, who am I to say no? I'm in wellness. They obviously think I'm good enough. I totally gave them my self-worth. Like, if my publisher wants me to write a book, then I should say yes, because that's a good thing for girls in wellness and health to do. And my books, looking back, they're actually great books, but they didn't sell anywhere near as much as all the other, you know, the
mm-hmm.
now some of the girls that have done so well with books.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl, you know, Deliciously Ella.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, that's the one everyone knows.
She comes from a great background,
yep,
like a really wealthy background, did so well because she's just in, she's doing what she's meant to do on
her
this planet.
Thing, yeah.
And I just remember, you know, being like, why some girls like her and not me? And again, just because I just wasn't supposed to do that.
Yeah, totally.
And then it took me saying yes to a second book to get the lesson, Lacey. Like, I didn't get it the first time around.
Yeah.
One had to not sell well, and me like devote all that time to it, and me kill myself trying to make a cookbook.
It is so hard.
And then do it again, and then be like, never again.
It's so funny because everyone's been asking for a book and I've been approached by many people, but everything inside of me goes, nah, I'm not clearing it yet. Like, I really, it's
wow.
like, I'll do it when I'm ready.
When you're ready.
And that could be 10 years from now. I like,
wow.
I, that's one thing that I, my dad gotcha. As an Aquarius taught me, like, do what you fucking want and you'll see great. And
yeah.
it's hard for him because he had to like give up everything when he had me. He was 18, so he had to become
wow.
you know, an insurance broker and like have a real life. But he is like, I have to credit him to being the one who's like, you can do a roller coaster, let's go. Like, you're, you know, like he really taught me how to be fearless about being me in a lot of ways.
Exactly. With my dad. My dad's also an Aquarius, also a projector.
Yeah.
And was like, when everyone goes left, you go right. The good things I got from, one of the very many good things I got from that.
And that, like, anything with polarity. Yeah. They all have their lessons to teach us. When was like a pivotal point where you figured out, you know what, I am a badass and I'm worth what I want?
To be honest with you, I think it only really started, I had to see it before I believed it, in the sense that only when I witnessed myself saying things to people that I couldn't see was of value. Mm-hmm. Like when things would come out of my mouth that I'm like, I don't even know where this is coming from, but it's really having an effect on people. Then I was like, okay, there's something to this. Like, I get this. But before that, again, like you're asking me about being a badass and I'm defaulting straight to work, which is the very thing I'm against with, you know, with what you're here to do. But I think when my last relationship ended, because he one day just was like super abusive verbally to me. Mm. And when I just was like, nope, that's my low, I'm done. After that, I was single for 3 weeks until I met my current mm-hmm. partner. And I think that was much more of an inner, like, I'm a badass of like, just because I'm willing to not put up with the rubbish, like, yeah. I've got to be worth something because I'm not lazy, unsexy, da 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 da, all the stuff that I was basically like
being told you were.
Yeah.
So that, which he was like just calling out your projectorness.
Yeah, I was like, he doesn't get that I'm a projector, and they all think projectors are lazy, you know.
Yeah. But good for you. And it's like, so with manifestation too, you're like, goodbye, fuck you, and bam, like this great guy comes.
Literally, like, I was single and I didn't even think about how I was gonna find someone, wasn't even interested, whatever. And then just, you know, came straight in. So that was more like a basis of self-worth. And then he was like, my current one was like, why do you see how great you are? Like, always, you know?
He's your vision holder. Oh, so you keep growing too. More and more into it for him. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, those Taurans. They're so earthy.
They're so earthy, I know. Wow. It's the best.
Can you talk about how, I guess we sort of covered this, but like, what are your two thoughts on like how someone can kind of find if they have ego in their chart or not, like when they're really supposed to welcome their ego?
Do you mean ego, like the good ego, like healthy sense of
like,
ego?
Yeah, or if you're not supposed to and you're getting too like wrapped up in other people's egos. Yeah.
So in human design, ego is literally, and just the simple definition of ego is like, a set of vision of like what you want in the world, like your own wants, your own, like, this is where I end and the world begins kind of thing. So in human design, you have 30% of the population that's here to have a strong version of ego. And 70% of the rest of the population aren't supposed to be driven by egoic wants.
And what are they driven by? Like, what are the things, examples?
So people that are not supposed to be driven by ego are literally just supposed to embrace like what it is that they love to do and trust that the money and the success and the influence and the power, the impact, whatever else, comes as a byproduct of you doing what you love.
I love that.
Whereas people who have defined ego, let's say for example their ego makes them want money, it's supposed to be like when they get offered something with money, like that's, they're supposed to embrace that. Yeah. Whereas someone who's not supposed to embrace that is supposed to say, well, no, I'm going to say no to the money just because it's coming up for me now. Yeah. I'm supposed to still just do what my gut is telling me to do, if you're a generator or whatever, and just to trust that you don't have to think about the money.
And it will come by doing what you love.
Yeah.
Because you and I both have ego.
We both have ego, which means like, and this is going to sound weird until I explain it, but like, okay, you want something successful comes, like something that promises you success is supposed to be like, F yes, I'm going for it, let's do it. And the only reason why we think that that's bad as a society is because we think that people, like in the past, people who've wanted to embrace success or embrace money have come with the consciousness of like, well, there's not enough to go around. So if I'm getting it, then that means I'm evil. But with ego, you know, we have such bad examples of people who are in the world right now who are like, money hungry, which means that they will take from other people. Like, just because you embrace money, you would never take from someone else. You know what I mean? So that's where we need to like also break it apart a bit and be like, there's more than enough to go around. So like embracing it as the first thing that you follow or the thing that follows from what you choose to do first, it's all good.
Yeah,
you know?
Either way, whatever you've designed.
Exactly.
And what would be some famous people who have in their chart ego and then ones that don't have ego?
Yes, for example, Tony Robbins has a strong ego, which means
have to talk about with the Tony Robbins, what you told me, because he's a manifesting generator.
He's a manifesting generator.
Because I've had clients and friends who go to his things and they're like so pumped.
Oh, yeah.
And my life has changed. And then 2 days later, they're like, now what? And like nothing changed.
So that's the other thing with having ego, is that because you're motivated by these things, you can very easily infect other people by your level of hunger and motivation, which makes him a great life coach, because what happens is he'll get up on a stage and be like, basically people will be picking up on his hunger and his motivation. So in the moment you're walking away feeling like you're motivated and you've got that motivation and it's your own, right? But actually all you've done in that moment, when you're talking about from a human design perspective, from the energetics, is you've temporarily become as hungry or as motivated as him, because you're open in that area, so you've taken it on.
Mm-hmm. And
then
it's my projector client who went.
Yeah.
So she's like totally open. Yeah.
And then you go home, and then it's not really who you are, and it's not meant to be who you are. That's totally a good thing.
Yeah.
And then you might be wondering, like, okay, well, why was I motivated when I was there and now I'm so lazy, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
70% of the population that doesn't have ego is supposed to feel super motivated sometimes and so unmotivated other times.
Wow.
And motivation is supposed to be like this rather than like this, which is what someone like Tony obviously is experiencing it as. Yeah. Like, motivation is a thing that is always on and it should be on, and we should figure out how ways to hack so that it's on.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just not the case for most people.
Totally.
So yeah, it's really fascinating.
That's where human design to me just becomes so beautiful. Yeah. It's such a key to yourself. Yeah. It's crazy.
I know.
Because when you can, if you're somebody who doesn't have ego and you tap in, you're like, great, cool. Now I never have to really be like led, like, how am I going to make my fortune to feed myself? Or now I can just really follow my passion. If I'm a generator, like, now I can just really only say yes to the things that light me up, and that power, that worth, that authenticity is going to
reflect in. Exactly. Like, any, you know, you say this all the time, it's like all these things like money and power and whatever, they're just all reflections of where you're at. It's not that if you, and we all think like, oh, if I don't think about it then it's never going to come to me. Absolutely not
at all. Doesn't, like, determine
you don't
anything.
Have to strategize about it. If you're 70% of the population, you don't even have to think about it. Like, it's amazing. It will just come.
You just have to be in your type, your worth.
Yeah,
your,
you just have to unblock, decondition it, whatever. It's not even like a conscious thing. It's like you have to just get rid of, like, what I like to say is, like, you just have to get rid of the brakes.
All right, so today, what is one thing you'd like to go back and tell your lowest self, the most important thing?
Your worth has nothing to do with what you do.
Mm-hmm. And so what would that look like for you?
Like, I think the old me thought that I had to prove my worth the whole entire time, and I just was like pedaling underwater, you know, just basically my whole life wasting. It's like wasting so much energy trying to justify, like, how productive I was, what was I, you know, what was I kind of like looking like on the outside. I guess everyone feels that though.
Mm-hmm.
But just always trying to prove things with, like, how much of a hard worker I was, or how much of a struggle life had to be in order for me to be successful, or for people to think I was successful. Like, I'd almost, my old self would have rather have struggled and not had success than found it easy to be successful.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm the same. It was like that as well for me. The limiting belief that you picked up, you're still trying to work through today.
Ooh, that's a great question. I think it comes back to that yang thing of, like, I can be assertive and it's not unattractive, or it's not disgusting.
I heard you say on Jordan's podcast that was a new...
Oh, the new alpha female.
Yes.
Yeah, so in human design, basically in 2027, we're entering into a new world way of doing things, which is so much more about letting life come to you, being in a more passive, receptive state rather than the kind of active, strategic state that we're in right now. And so basically everyone that's alive right now is a mix of the two in various different degrees. And so there are some people that are basically here as bridge people, which means that they're here to help people cross over from the old world way of doing things to the new world way of doing things. So the new alpha people that have this new alpha female energy inside them are really people who different women have to embody it in different ways. But they just, the new alpha female archetype in general is that one that doesn't kowtow to being like aggressive and whatever, but also still being able to be assertive without having to do it in the old masculine way, which we literally don't have examples of, you know, who that woman is, like, totally right now. So we're in that stage of really, you know, doing this against everyone and trying to, like, it's like having a patchwork archetype from, like, thousands of different people being put together, and everyone's embodying it in a slightly different way. So for me, I'm just, like, literally trying to expand by seeing different people and how they embody, like, the new type of alpha female. For me, the thing that's really hard is, like, even if I speak up now or I get a bit too emphatic, I'm like, oh, no, I shouldn't have said that. Or, like, that's a really big one for me at the moment of, like,
wow,
it's okay to sometimes be annoyed or be angry or be whatever, like, whereas I still have such a judgment over that.
Oh, I love that you're still... chipping away.
Oh, I think until the day we, literally until the day we die, we're not done. Like, there's always more. And every time I kind of think of it like a Game Boy, like every time you think you've like won one level, you're like, shit, I'm at level two, and it feels like right at the beginning again. But even though I'm at a new level, it feels like I have to start from the beginning.
Same. So I'm exactly like, there too.
God, do I know. Have to do this again?
I'm like, can I just, you know what I saw the movie last night. I was, I worked so much yesterday that I needed to do something to just totally zone out. I was too in it that, I went to go see, what is it called? I think I'm pretty or I'm pretty.
Oh, I feel pretty.
Yeah. Cause I knew it was going to be like such a good model for manifestation. And it was, like I really encourage, it's such a silly, I'm not a big like slapstick, silly, funny person, but it is such a good model for pure magnetism. Is literally just owning your true pure essence and confidence is more magnetic than any possible physical exterior internal. I mean, and so in that, it was really beautiful to see that whole it was like I took away when I walked away. I was like, why can't I just be at the level of where she was when she got like into the, you know, like had sort of the concussion and went to being her most confident person ever.
Wow.
But it is, it's just like layer after, there's just layers. There's layers when you.
But I think, and in general, I haven't seen the movie, but I think Amy Schumer in general is someone who really is so, she's just so authentic. Like,
so
she's
that's it. Yeah.
Like whatever she's done is like,
I talk
she's
about
one of those
it
people.
All the time.
Do you?
Like, I see it. There's a few of them that are like this. Like, Jennifer Lawrence is like that. And Angelina Jolie.
You said those two to me, yeah.
Yeah, are very much like that. Gabby Hoffman's one of those.
I don't know
who that is. So she was the youngest daughter in Transparent. I don't know if you watched that. And she was in Girls. She was like the wacky sister.
Oh.
Whatever.
And she's like super herself.
And I like to use her as an example. Amy Schumer, sort of. Amy Schumer's still pretty mainstream, pretty in a way, you know, even though she's not like the quintessential whatever starlet boy. That like who's trying to compare themselves to, but Gabby Hoffman like really is authentic in her appearance, her look, and just total feminism, I guess.
That's
that
cool.
way where the commonalities that they all really share is they're unapologetically authentic and detached from needing other people's approval. It's so magnetic. It's crazy.
So magnetic. Yeah.
So that movie is like no exception.
I need to see it. You do go through phases where I think like, again, like you obviously never done, but it's like you sometimes like get a taste of that, you know what I mean, and
totally.
What that could be in you, and those are the things that like are the beacons that go like, okay, I can get there because I've been that.
It's like a
times.
Hint. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually just watched Teal Swans. I don't know if you've seen it. Her
I've
video.
Like seen all her videos.
They're
I've probably
so
seen
good.
This on this.
Yeah.
So good.
Which one? You introduced her to me.
She hadn't.
Yeah, I had never heard of her. I actually would see in some of the unblockings people would comment for reparenting, like, I saw Teal Swan as my mom.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, who's named Teal Swan?
Yeah,
like,
I know,
who's
right?
This person?
Yeah.
And then B, people kept saying that a lot of our theories are very similar or teachings, even though I think she integrates way deeper into the psychology, is really magical. But when I finally tuned into her, I was like, I love what she's up to with all of the backgrounds
and
the videos.
It's so cool.
Amazing.
I know.
But she had this great video on menstruation and periods and like how to heal if you are having PM, and it was just so beautiful about like all of the old traditions of what women would like. One thing she said that really struck out to me and made me actually go buy a moon cup was, she was like, because she has the extrasensory of some frequencies, and she was like looking at period blood is so, she was like, it's like the equivalent of looking at breast milk.
Oh,
on
yes.
It's so powerful.
Yeah.
She's like, and you're throwing
she's like,
down
we
the
throw
trash.
That shit away. Yeah. I remember that video.
So it was really fascinating to have that different. I mean, I've heard a lot of elements before that were in her video, but it really hammered it home, and she's so strong that it was like very fascinating that, this is a systematic issue. That
massively. And I think it's so connected to the witchy thing, too, because, you know, when women would have periods at the same time, they'd go off and
sink and then go into their huts. I do want a hut. I want to be away from Max when I'm having those different cycle phases. I just want to be alone. It's that natural inclination.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why it makes you crabby then. You know, like, because it's like, okay, no one get near me because then no one's supposed to be near me.
Totally.
Like,
and I'm not supposed to be in society right now. I'm supposed to be inward. And we could go on forever. It was a good video.
That's its own rabbit hole for sure.
We have to remember to link that. What's the most kismet thing you've ever manifested?
Oh, wow. God, I would say, well, because I'm a passive manifester, so I don't ever really think about what it is that I want. I think literally manifesting a career that I never, like, only my young, dreamiest self would have been even given herself license to dream of. Like,
totally.
If you told me 2 years ago or even a year and a half ago, like, you could be where you are now. Like, there's no way that
most expanding comment anybody hears.
I just couldn't ever think that this would be my life now. Like,
You're so in your flow too. It's really magical. Okay, so these are kind of flash questions for each of the types that you'll give, like, flash answers on. What are the best travel tips for each type, or like where to travel, how to travel?
So what you want to look at actually is your G center, which is that kind of diamond one in the middle of your chart. If that one is open, you're a really good person who can travel basically anywhere in the world. Wow. If you have that one colored in yellow, you have to be a little bit more specific. And unfortunately, or fortunately, you're not someone who can just pick up and go anywhere and see the world and do the things and all this kind of stuff. Because for you, it's so much more about you selecting and curating your environment rather than being that go with the flow person. So that's like a big area where I had FOMO, for example.
Everyone's pulling out their phones to look. That's them. I love it.
So that's a good sign, yeah, I guess. It's like we're giving valuable information. But I always kind of like had envy when I was younger of, like, you know, even now, like when I see people on Instagram, like make, like, you know, we'll give it all up and we'll go to travel the world for a year or whatever. That could just never be me.
Yeah.
I could never do that. So, it's about the G center is a big one. But also, as a projector, I would say any type of travel, vacations, whatever, has to be centered around actually relaxing on vacation rather than like going on an activity vacation. And the same for reflectors. It's like the worst thing you want to do is go on, like, you know, a camping trip or a hiking trip or a discovery trip or any of those type of things. Those are probably the worst.
I'm the same. Yeah, as a projector, I've always been like, oh, fuck no.
Yeah.
Sounds like a job. Yeah,
can't do that. And then there's so many other specifics in someone's chart that will say, for example, whether they need a structured type of holiday versus a non-structured type of holiday, where you like pre-plan everything and have your itinerary versus don't.
Wow.
But just based on your energy, if you're a non-energy type, definitely don't travel somewhere where it's going to be a lot of output.
So project your reflector, but the others can do
if that's what they want to do. Again, like, you have to check with whether that's something that actually lights you up,
or if you're getting the command to go and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What in the chart determines how each one builds their self-esteem?
God, that's such a layered question.
It is.
How they build their self-esteem, I guess, really comes back to how close you can kind of like reach for your real design, like your real self, right? So the further away, it's literally as simple as the further you get away from feeling like you, the more self-esteem issues you have, because it's that disparity between the soul, the underneath, and the body us. When energetically what's happening is that the soul is always communicating one thing and then the body self is communicating another. And when those two things are not when they're not together, when it's mixed messaging for the universe doesn't ever really know how to help you, because it's saying soul knows it wants money, but body has so much judgment over that. So I'm trying to send you money, but I don't know what to send you, for example. So it's that same thing of like your self-esteem is always going to be bad because there's not going to be that togetherness when you're just living further and further away from all the different layers of what is in your design.
I love that. And I really firmly believe that we're they'll say often like we have a spirit, and I don't believe that. I believe we're a spirit with a body. Like, it's like that comes first before, but this is just a human suit that we're all playing around
and
with.
Everyone knows that feeling of like, you know, when you just feel like ugh, like when there's that feeling underneath of like, I'm just not me, like I just don't feel like me. You just
totally
feel like you're betraying yourself.
That's
basically in human design, that's what gives us that low self-esteem, because we're like, we know where we could, like the soul knows where it wants to be and the body just isn't there, and so we're like betraying ourselves.
I love that, and anybody can tap in and feel that and 100%. Understand that. How would each type benefit from knowing how to deal with rejection?
Ooh, like, you want to, like, talk about relationships here?
Just anything. Like, anything that, you know, not being seen, not being good enough, not, like, any time that you feel rejected in the smallest or the biggest capacity. Whether if it's even something on Instagram that triggers you that you're not good enough for.
So, with manifestors, one of the biggest things I would say is that they do have, and this is here to help them in their with their cause, with manifesting their lives and whatever, they do have a selective aura, which basically means that they will draw towards them the people that are supposed to be on their train, and they will keep away, or life will keep away for you, the people that just don't get you, don't understand what it is you're about, don't want to get on your train, their lives are going here and you're going there. It's just the way that there's like that mechanism just naturally works when you're living according to your design. So manifestors often really fear.
Trump's a really good example of
exactly.
that. He's a great example.
He's a great example of it. Like, he's doing what he's doing, and people who really get him are like getting on his train.
Yeah. And who don't just are so polarized by it.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's an extreme example because he's really like people love, 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 or hate, hate, hate. But there's always that mixture of really getting it or really not getting it in manifestors. And so manifestors with rejection, I would actually say, like, you need to reframe the rejection of like, that's actually protection. The universe helping you. Yeah. And that's a good sign, because the more reactions you get from people, not always negative, but just the ability to tune into what the way people are reacting to what you're doing is actually a really good thing, because it means you're living your design. It means you're actually being your biggest, most powerful, most impactful self.
Awesome.
So rejection from manifestors is like, great, let's do it. Like, I'm living, you
see
know?
Yeah.
Cool. You reject me, that's cool. Bless you. You're on your path. And see you. And then with projectors, you know, the one time where they really will, you can use rejection as a fuel or as a self-awareness tool of like, what part of me getting that rejection was me trying to push myself to try and get seen out of that. Because a rejection, if someone doesn't see, let's take you for an example, right? If someone says to you, well, I don't think that what you're doing is like, right. Or good or whatever, you'd
or
be like, that's
real.
Fine.
Yeah.
You'd be like, that's fine. But if you've been trying to look for that person to validate it, and then they said that would hurt
it's
so
crushing.
Much more.
Yeah.
So it's about like with the projector, it's so much about like being like that. How much of that was my need to feel seen?
Yeah.
And how can I like remove that again?
And how can I just see myself and believe in myself, stay on my path and wait for the invitation?
Recognize myself.
Yeah.
Which is the hardest thing for projectors to do. And then generators and manifesting generators need to start prioritizing the fact that actually, because what they all do is they abandon their own preferences from day one, mm-hmm. right? In order to do things for other people. So rejection is actually, you're not doing my agenda versus, oh, hold on a second. My agenda, my own agenda, if I'm a generator or a manifesting generator, is my compass from the divine showing me where to go. So I have to stop abandoning that and giving away the preference to someone else's thing, right? Yeah. So anytime a generator or a manifesting generator experiences rejection, it's like, oh, that's a sign that I need to take my preferences out to lunch again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I need to like, where did I not listen to those?
Yeah.
Because if I'm telling you that you have the power to reject me, that means that your agenda is more important than mine.
Yeah.
And it isn't.
I love that. And then reflect.
And then reflectors, hey, if you're rejecting me, you're rejecting yourself.
Yes.
Like, you need to go look at that, honey. Like, I'm just like, if I'm here and I'm like,
that's your stuff. And I think they're really good. Like, the few that I know are pretty like, not that they're spacey, they're just so magical that they don't seem to get affected that much by other people if they're in their power a little bit.
Yeah.
Quick tips for the ideal resting situation for each type, which we kind of covered.
Yes.
But like, what are those, just in a quick step
yes.
for this?
So, well, okay, rest in itself and self-care looks obviously so different, and it is just based on, I think, like, everyone should just feel okay to kind of do it the way they need to do it.
Like, and they like it.
And they like it. It is that simple as well. But, you know, with projectors and reflectors, they need rest because work actually tires them out. Even if they love what they do, work does take stuff out of them because you don't create your own life force. So you're always borrowing on other people. So right now we're borrowing off these guys. Exactly.
Yeah.
So with us, rest is not this kind of like beautiful indulgence. It's actually like something that you have to do to literally make sure that when you are on, you're more effective.
Mm-hmm.
It literally will make your work time less good if you don't do the rest.
Right.
And with manifestors, they have to understand that it's okay to kind of rest in between getting just to spontaneously just go do things. So they have to understand that their engine like revs and stops and revs and stops and revs and stops. So in between the revving, they have to just rest and wait for the next rev to come. And then with generators and manifesting generators, you know, do whatever resty self-care things you really enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like really tune in.
Yeah. Instead of like, oh, I should now do meditation because everyone's doing it. Or yeah. I should now, you know, take a bath.
Yeah.
Like,
and you would say the same for all the types, right? Like, don't buy into all the stigma that's going on. Like, what absolutely. Actually feels good? Is it eating bonbons and watching absolutely. A movie? Fucking do that.
Yeah. Like, 1,000%. Like yeah. that could be self-care just to say, like, I'm so not into that stuff anyway, like yeah. that checklist of anything that felt like a spiritual checklist that I had to abide by in order to qualify as like a spiritual enough person. I'm like, I can't, like, yeah. I just yeah. don't even make me look at it anymore. Like, I can't.
Yeah. This isn't gonna work.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's really beautiful. Now, can you tell us more about the project that's coming out, which I know yes. we covered in the video, but I really think it's so important for people to thank access you. This information and yeah. really understand how to decondition themselves so they can be in their type.
Yeah. Well, I was getting so many requests from people of like, I'm trying to find more information out online and I don't know where to go. And it's also confusing, or it doesn't sound right to me and it doesn't ring true. And it's, people just, you know, Google is so wide and so, you know, so many different opinions on there, that I basically was like, if I was first starting to learn human design and I didn't have a disability that I have to basically download it, what would I like to just give it to me in one nutshell? Because I'm a very impatient learner. I yeah. don't like to kind of like pull from so many. I just want someone to give it to me super clear.
Yeah,
so I was like, I would love to access more people and get through to do more readings for people. So what I was coming to the conclusion of is, it wouldn't it be great if I did a general reading for a generator, a manifesting generator, a reflector, a projector, and a manifester, that wouldn't, you know, without going into the specifics of who you are, if I can't read for you, you can at least learn the basics of what it means to be your energy type.
Yeah.
And then you can, like, you know, get the one for your projector husband, and then you can make sense of how you guys work so differently and
totally.
You can listen to them
and more. Accept each other more.
Yeah.
And your children. That's the huge thing.
It's the big one.
Like, the yeah. more friends of mine that reach out about human design stuff and they're like, we can't get in with Jenna. I'm like, wait until the things come out, because
yeah.
they're all so, in fact, I have a friend who's like, I'm actually really afraid of how to be a mother for my manifesting son. Like, he literally will run out into the street and I don't know what to do
yeah.
with this kid. But
yeah.
he's so magical. And I don't want to ruin this
yeah.
magic that he has.
Wow.
So I think it's going to be so beneficial for parents
yeah.
to learn how to parent their children.
Totally. And it will just, I mean, after that, we will do a specific one for parenting. And there
awesome.
Is a specific one on diet and food coming out as well.
Great.
But the first five are just, will be just like, this is a general reading for you for being a generator. This is what it's about, so that you can understand yourself more, you know, just
amazing.
On a general level. And even if you never delve into anything else of your human design, just knowing the way you're supposed to literally just exchange energy with the world around you, if you can truly implement that to all the max level that it can be implemented to, is life changing.
And where will they be able to find that on the site?
Just on my website, jennazoe.com.
Great.
Yeah.
And also, for the people who are just tuning in and have never really heard what human design is, you like definitely check out Jenna's Instagram, because you're so generous already with so much of the information you give about like dieting, eating,
yeah.
You know, everything, like workout, sexuality. I mean,
yeah.
you have such great tips already on there. So
yeah.
it's so accessible.
My other half jokes are with me all the time though, because he's always like, no more essays. Like, don't stop like writing essays.
People love them.
He's like, just say having a good time in LA. I'm like,
yeah,
no, like that's no value add. Like
yeah.
my whole thing now is like, you know, the way that you live a good life is by providing more value than you're receiving.
I think,
you know?
So too.
So I think like, you know, just don't. And
that's how
come,
like
everything.
We've wanted to take things on a much bigger scale rather than just one-on-one
yeah.
sessions, because it's like, no, there's so much more value they can get even out of these conversations. There's already
absolutely.
So much more integration and value.
Totally. Totally.
So I'm glad.
Thank
well,
you.
Thank you for being my first
Thank you,
guest.
Lacey. This was so much fun.
Yes. And thank you to Lila and Shannon who are here, who have like been
powering
patient.
Us up.
Yeah.
Thanks,
the manifesting
for, thanks
generator.
For lending us your energy.
Thank you so much for joining today. And if today's episode piqued your curiosity about manifestation, head over to freeandnative.com and click on Start Here. where you'll find a video of me giving you all of my recommendations of how to navigate manifestation from here on out. And again, if you liked it, please comment below, review, and share with a fellow manifester. And if you're looking for the like-minded community that you might be manifesting, head over to our Facebook group called The Secret Society. You can find that on our homepage, and make sure to sign up for our newsletter where we send out new manifestation content and how to digest it and put it into practice twice a month. Have a beautiful day.